I have gone into the highest heights. I have taken the first place. For you to come and seek my face, receive my grace, and build your faith. Build on the rock, the true foundation, the one that is steadfast and immovable, not easily shaken. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So if at any time during the service, if you're inspired to give, just put it in the container in the back there. Or you can go online and give a card in the bookstore. There's all kinds of ways. But I tell you what, I'm so glad that you're here tonight. Amen. We're going to begin a new series. And I like fresh bread, fresh manna from heaven. How many know that we, you know, Christ accomplished a great victory for us? He rose from the dead. All right? Go to Revelation chapter 1, and then we're going to go to the book of Colossians, and we're going to spend the majority of our time in Colossians. But I just want you to see this. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. John is telling of his experience of when he had a vision of Jesus. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of death. I have the keys of hell and death. So he won the victory. He took the keys. Amen. And so he wants us to share in the victory that he accomplished. He wants us to be participants. He's already chosen us to be on his team. And you weren't chosen last. All right? So what we need to do then is we need to walk in and maintain the victory that he accomplished for us. See, when you walk in something, you take possession of it. Right? How many has ever purchased a home? Okay? Did you just... Once the deal was done, did you just say, boy, that's a nice home? You stood on the outside? Is that what you did when you bought the home? What did you do? When the deal was all done and keys were given to you, you said, boy, that's a nice home. You know, you sat there looking at it. No, you went in, right? You took possession of it. You began to walk in the ownership of your home, all right? Course, and then when you realize when you own a home, there's always maintenance. Okay? So we've got to take possession. We've got to walk in the victory that Christ accomplished for us. We got to walk victoriously. We got to talk victoriously. We've got to think victoriously. We've got to carry ourselves victoriously. How does a victor carry themselves? You know, when a runner, you know, when they cross the finish line, you know, did they all say, oh, that was good? Huh? I mean, you think about it. You got to start thinking like a champion because you are a champion. You were made a champion because our champion, Jesus, made you a champion. Okay? Now, we're going to see that the book of Colossians is full of keys that will help us to walk in and maintain the victory. So we're going to do a study on the book of Colossians, all right? And, you know, we know who wrote Colossians, right? Paul. You know where he wrote Colossians from? Prison. You know, I thought about this. Paul did more from prison than most Christians do in their lifetime. You know, Paul never had the mentality, oh, I'm in prison, there's nothing I can do now. He took his time in prison, and he wrote letters to churches that we're still benefiting from today. He took his time in prison, and he didn't let his heart be imprisoned. He didn't let the Holy Spirit be imprisoned, but he let the Holy Spirit inspire him while he was in prison. And he wrote truth that God put in his word. It was written from Rome, probably about 64 AD. And, you know, when we were singing our worship songs, the theme of Colossians is Christ is the head of the church. So we're going to get into this. All right. So Paul starts off his letter. You know, he always had a salutation. And chapter 1, verse 1, says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. So who chose Paul to be an apostle? It was God's will for his life, right? And to Timothy, and then verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, and it also applies to the faithful saints in Palmyra, right? Isn't this awesome how God took these letters and made them transgenerational, transcontinental, right? He used this, there's no limit. We can still benefit from what the Holy Spirit wrote through Paul. Verse 3, here's key number 1 on how to walk in and maintain the victory that Christ gave for us. We give thanks to God and the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to walk in and maintain the victory that Christ accomplished for us, we have to be thankful. We have to express thankfulness to God and to Jesus Christ. Amen? And when you're talking about God, you're also including the Holy Spirit in there. Okay? So, key number 1 to walking and maintaining your victory is to be thankful for God for who he is and what he's done for you. All right? Paul gave thanks continually. He was always giving thanks. You don't have to turn there, but just mark down Deuteronomy 8:10. It's talking about make blessing and thanking a habit. It's talking about doing it continually. How many know when you do it continually, it becomes a habit, right? When you woke up this morning, did you have to think about brushing your teeth? You probably brushed your teeth so much, you just do it out of habit because you do it so much. Hopefully that's a habit. Hopefully you didn't have to think about it. Okay? Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Talking about giving thanks. This says it all right here, verse 18. In everything, what? Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Did you know that it was God's will for us to give thanks in everything? Are you thankful for bad things? Let's clarify that for a minute. Well, we're not so much thankful for the bad things, but we're thankful for the good that God brings out of the bad, right? I mean, God has a way of turning things around. He has a way of redefining circumstances, okay? I mean, for example, when he told Joshua to take Jericho, they had to cross the River Jordan without a bridge at flood stage. How are you going to cross a river at flood stage without a bridge, without a pontoon boat, without floaty shoes? What are you going to do? You're going to dip your foot into the water, and the water's going to stop. Because God said, dip your foot in the water, and when you do, it'll stop. He changed the circumstances. God can move heaven and earth for us. So our thanksgiving is for what God does. When bad things happen, look to God, and He has a way of bringing good out of it. It may not seem like it's good right now, but God can bring good out of it. I know that Joseph was a thankful person because he maintained a good attitude in spite of all the bad things that happened to him. You know someone's thankful when bad things happen and they still have a good attitude. It's you don't let the bad get in your attitude, right? You keep your attitude focused on God. And that's part of walking and maintaining the victory. Simply being thankful and grateful, having a grateful heart. Our God is so good. I mean, we need to... Thanksgiving is simply taking a moment and celebrating God's goodness. So that's what we have to do to walk and maintain the victory that is in Christ Jesus. Go to Psalm 9. Psalm 9. You know what's good? When I got through the first chapter of Colossians and I got 7 pages already. Now, don't worry, I'm not giving you all 7 pages tonight. Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. I will praise you, O Lord, how? With my whole heart, I will show forth all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. That sounds like he was giving thanks. Amen. You know, sometimes in life we need to stop and have a thank you Jesus party. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in life. And when we get so caught up, we become distracted. And when we're distracted, we take our eyes off of who? Jesus. You know, when Peter stepped out of the boat, he was fine until he got distracted. He was looking at Jesus, and then all of a sudden, he was looking at the waves and the wind and the impossibility. And when he took his eyes off Jesus. See, what the devil will try to do to you, he'll try to distract you. Simply getting your eyes off where they need to be. When we take our eyes off of Jesus, that's when we stumble. Okay? Oh, hallelujah. Why should we be thankful? You don't have to turn there, but Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Think about this. Think about how he worded that. He daily loads, load. Now, a load from God is different than one of our loads. He daily loads us with benefits. Our God has benefits. There is benefits for following God, for serving God, for choosing Jesus. He has a benefit package better than any corporation in this world. Matter of fact, his retirement plan is out of this world. His health plan is by his stripes you're healed. Amen. We need to bless God for his protection, for his peace, for his help, for his joy, for his salvation, for his healing, for his deliverance, for his provision, for his purpose. How many are thankful that God shows you your purpose? I'm so thankful that I don't have to wander around wondering where I'm supposed to go and what I'm supposed to do because God showed me what my purpose is. And I'm walking in my purpose. God showed me that because I sought God and he showed me. I was willing to do whatever, but this is what he showed me to do. We need to thank God for his relationship with us. We have a God that we can know, that we can interact with, that we can talk with. We can sit at his feet, look upon his face. Amen. We can experience his joy and his presence. We need to be thankful for the thoughts that he thinks towards us. Did you know that God thinks thoughts towards you? The thoughts that I have of you, says the Lord. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. I know how many hairs are on your head. I handcrafted you. I breathed the breath of life into you and made you a living soul. Amen. I'm telling you, God thinks thoughts about us. What's he thinking? Ask him, and he'll tell you. Amen. He will tell you. We need to be thankful for his mercy. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We need to be thankful for his forgiveness. Whew, thank God for that. Because I messed up a lot. I'm grateful that he forgave me. He doesn't hold my sin against me. As far as the east is from the west, he forgets it. We need to be thankful for his cleansing and sanctifying, setting us apart. We need to be thankful for the satisfaction that he gives. He'll satisfy our mouth with good things. We need to be thankful for his kindness. He crowns our heads with loving kindness. Whew. We need to be thankful for his generosity. Do you need any more reasons why you should be thankful for his strength that he gives us? He gives power to the faint. He increases the strength to them that have no might. We need to be thankful that he removes fear from our life. Perfect love comes in and casts out fear. We need to be thankful that he empowers us. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And we need to be thankful for his acceptance. We're accepted in the beloved. So if you want to walk in victory, and if you want to maintain that victory, you need to be thankful. Paul said that we give thanks to God the Father and to our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks. Stop dropping thanks. We need to thank him for his wondrous works. Psalm 75:1. Go with me to Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel faced a problem, didn't he? He was going to be executed for no reason of his. The reason he was going to be executed was because he was a wise man, not a wise guy. There's a difference. The king had a dream, and he wanted the people to interpret it, but he didn't want to tell what the dream was. Okay? I mean, when you work with someone who's possessed by the devil, they're crazy. How many know the devil makes people crazy? So Daniel, he was going to die unless someone did something. So him and his friends went to God. And they asked God to show him. And God responded. How many know God will respond to you? When you're in trouble, if you call upon him, he'll respond. Look at verse 20, Daniel 2, verse 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever." Woo, I tell you what, when you start Thanksgiving, it's perpetual for eternity. I mean, we're going to be thanking God on earth. We're going to be thanking him when we get to heaven. We're going to be giving him thanks for a long time, so we better practice now. Amen. The earth is just dress rehearsal for heaven. Okay? So Daniel praised him, the name of God, forever and ever. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings. He sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness and the light dwells with him. I thank thee and I praise you, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me now what we desired of you. For you now have made known unto us the king's matter. Can you see how grateful Daniel was? Look at what Thanksgiving did. It kept promoting him in a foreign kingdom until he became third in command. Will thankfulness do that for me? Yes, it will. You know, thankfulness is no respecter of persons. In Luke chapter 17, verse 15, you don't have to turn there, but story of 10 lepers. They see Jesus across the street. They shout out to Jesus. Jesus shouts out to them, you know, about being well. And he said, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they were going, someone noticed that something happened in him. What did he do? He went back to Jesus and he gave thanks. You know, the one who gave thanks, he was made whole. Did you know that thanksgiving will make you whole? That could be the missing ingredient. Turn your complaining into thanksgiving and watch God's power come on the scene. Just a simple adjustment from being critical and complaining to being thankful, and watch what God will do. That'll put God on your side, and that'll display his power quicker than you could ever imagine. Whew. Oh, go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And mind you, this is only verse 3 of Colossians. I'm so excited about this. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Your victory comes through Jesus. But your thanksgiving activates victory power. Thanksgiving, it's like thanksgiving propels you over the top. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Not is going to, but gives you. Right now you have the victory over your challenges. Right now. It's not like God has to put a stamp on it and send it to you. It's already here. Amen. That's why we have to walk in it. It's already been given to us. When God gave the land to the Israelites, the promised land, he said, I have given it to you. Then what did he say? Go in and what? Possess it. The land was given to them, but they had to go in. They had to beat giants up. They had to defeat some enemies. But let me tell you something. If you know that you're already a winner, you know that you win just by showing up. Amen. All they had to do was show up in the land, and God gave them the victory. See, and that's what we do. Our victory is already here, but we got to walk in it, and we got to maintain it. It's already been given to us, already provided for us, already accomplished for us. And walking in it is also, it involves speaking, it involves acting, it involves the way you think about things. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You can either think that you're healed or sick. You have a choice. You can either think you're poor or prosperous. True prosperity, it has nothing to do with what's in your account. It has everything to do with what's in your heart. What's in your mind? I mean, we know from Joseph. I don't know. I've been going to Joseph a lot. He's just one of those guys. He was a slave, right? Do you ever get the impression that he thought of himself as a slave? See, so even though he was a slave, he thought of himself differently, and he did differently. See, now, if you think of yourself as a slave, you'll act as a slave. And you won't prosper. But you got to think of yourself something different. You know, Jabez, when he was born, they wanted to name him Pain. because his birth caused his mama pain. But he said, I'm not going to accept that. He prayed to God. A couple verses. God heard his prayer. He said, expand my territory and bless me that I might not be a pain. And God heard his prayer and granted his request. He refused to accept the label that was trying to be put on him. And he let God define him. And see, that's what thankfulness is all about. When you're thankful, you're letting God's word define the situation. You're letting God's word define you. Amen. If you think you're defeated, you are. Every other soldier in the Israeli army thought of themselves as defeated when Goliath opened his mouth. Because for 40 days, not one soldier did anything. Not one. It took a shepherd who had a different mindset. He came on the scene, and it was the war. He won the war of words. He was like, I'm not going to take someone, I don't care how big you are, talking about my God that way. Uh-uh. It was his mindset. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory. All right, let's go back to Colossians. Whew, this is rich. All right, that's verse 3 of chapter 1. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. You know, if you want your prayers to be successful, lather your prayers with thanksgiving. When you pray, be thankful as you pray. It makes your prayers successful. It's like adding salt and pepper to a dish. It just gives it that extra flavor. All right, verse 4. Now, we won't obviously touch every verse, but these are some things that just stood out to me. 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Number 2, if you want to walk and maintain the victory that Christ gave you, you got to have a firm faith in Christ Jesus, and you have to have flowing love for the saints. Let me just ask you a question. What do you think your faith would speak to others? Paul said, we heard of your faith. What would your faith, what would my faith speak to others? What would they hear about our faith? Huh? What would our faith speak to them? Just think about it. All right? What does your faith show others? Remember when Jesus was in the house and no one could get in? And the guys cut a hole in the roof and they lowered the guy down? You know, the Bible said Jesus saw their faith. So what would your faith show to others? And what would your faith show to others? Another question is, what do others hear about your faith? You know, if someone wrote you a letter and said, I heard about your faith, would our faith have a positive testimony? Just something to think about. Okay? Paul said that we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Apparently, did you know that faith has a voice? Faith needs to be heard. If a mountain's in your way, should you measure the mountain? Should you take the circumference of that mountain? What should you do? Speak to it. If you had faith as a mustard seed, you would say unto the sycamore tree, come out of the ground and go into the sea, and it would obey you. Just like the fig tree obeyed Jesus, just like the wind obeyed Jesus, just like the dead man obeyed Jesus, just like the lame man obeyed Jesus. Amen. Did you know that things obey faith? if things aren't obeying you, then maybe you're not in faith. How do you get in faith? Oh, yeah, you got to get in the Word until this Word gets in you. How do you get the apple inside you? You know, you got this beautiful, ripe, luscious apple. It's in season. It's been picked and it's fresh and it's washed and clean. You don't get that apple by looking at it. You don't get the apple in you by looking at it. You don't get the apple in you by rubbing it. No, you get that apple in you by picking it up, taking a bite, and eating it. And you swallow it, and it goes in, and the body extracts what's good, gets rid of what's bad, and gives you energy, gives you nourishment. That's what we got to do with the Word. Amen. You can't get faith like this. You got to get faith like this. You got to get in it. You got to take a bite of it. You got to chew it. You got to swallow it. You got to digest it. Amen. Okay? You know the story of Joshua? Who was the person that helped Joshua? The two spies, when he sent the two spies to Jericho. It was Rahab. Right? Notice what she said. Pull up Joshua 2:21. Joshua 2:21. We'll just look at it on the screen. Or you can look at it in the Word too. They gave her a promise. All right? Because she helped them, they said, if everybody is out of your house when we come, they'll be safe, destroyed. Okay? And she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. It was according to the words. You know, when you're in faith, everything you do, everything you say, everything you think is according to His word. When you live like that, your faith will have great testimony. People will hear of your faith. People will see your faith. Amen? What happened to Nineveh when Jonah finally obeyed God? He went to Nineveh and he said, this city's going to be destroyed in 40 days. And the Ninevites said, you don't know what you're talking about, Jonah. No, listen to what they did. You don't have to turn there. Jonah 3, 5, and 10. So the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast. They put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least. Verse 6, then the word came to the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne and laid aside his robe. He covered himself with sackcloth, sat in ashes. He caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king, by his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. Verse 8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger? When they heard the words of Jonah, they did something about it. When you know you're in faith is when you hear God's word and you do something with God's word. You can't just let it go in and out. When God speaks to you, whether you read it in the book or whether you hear it spoken, that means it's a call to action. The Ninevites took action. Because that demonstrated that they believed God. Amen. Belief is not passive. Belief is active. Amen. And the action they took brought deliverance. Their city did not get destroyed, even though it was set for destruction. They overcame the destruction got turned around because of the faith that they had in the Word of God. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. This all has to do with, we heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Colossians must have had some vibrant faith. They must have done some things to overcome. Romans 4, verses 20 to 22. Talking about Abraham here. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. When Abraham got a promise, he did not say, "Whoa, God, that's a big promise. That promise is huge, God. I can't believe you're asking me of this, man. Whoa!" He did not stagger at the promise of God. Stagger at God's promise. We think it's too wonderful. We think we're not worthy. Those are lies of the enemy. The enemy would love to keep you in bondage. But the Holy Ghost is a bondage breaker. He loves to see you free. And he'll give you a word to get you free, but then you gotta walk in the freedom. You know, when Peter was set free from prison, he had to walk out of the prison, even though he didn't know what was happening. The angel had to wake him up. "Get up, Peter! It's time to go!" He said, "Oh, okay." He got out there, you know, but he had to walk out. Okay? So he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You know, if you stagger at God's promise, that's unbelief. Stagger means you're holding between two opinions. That means double-minded. A double-minded man doesn't receive anything from God. You know, people don't get promoted for their double-mindedness. "Well, he's a double-minded man. No, you're going to the top." No, you're going down to the bottom. Okay, what did he do then? If he didn't stagger at God's promise through unbelief, what did he do? "But was strong in faith, giving glory to God." You know, that's how you keep your faith strong. But you keep glorifying God. You keep looking to God. You keep put things on God. You glorify God. He gave he was strong in faith, giving. He didn't just do it one time. Giving glory to God. How many know there's a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of times when we could check out of faith. "Oh, this is too big. This is too long. This is too hard." You know, the devil will give you lots of opportunities to check out of faith. Come, and all he's saying is, he just said, "Come on, just check out of faith here. Just get out of the faith elevator here." You said, "No, this is not my floor. Keep going up. Keep going," right? Don't check out of faith. Well, how long should I stay in faith? Until the thing that you're believing for shows up. If it's 25 years like Abraham, what's 25 years? So he waited 25 years, yeah, but he got the results. He got an Isaac. Doesn't matter how long it takes. As long as you're in faith, there's no expiration date on God's promise. It doesn't have an expiration date like milk or anything like that. It's not going to mold. It's not going to turn green. God's promise is going to be true the whole way. Amen. It's going to be powerful. You just got to keep walking in the promise. You got to keep giving glory to God. You got to keep praising God. You got to keep being thankful. The minute you complain, you just got out of faith. All right? Okay. If you didn't stagger at the promise through unbelief, he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. Well, maybe you're not fully persuaded yet. Well, how do you convince you so that you become fully persuaded? Get more scripture. Find out more what he says about whatever it is you need. Amen. Become fully persuaded. Okay? That what he had promised, he was able to perform. So Abraham was fully persuaded that what God promised, God was able to perform. Notice Abraham didn't have to perform it. All Abraham had to do was believe it. If you believe it, God will do the performing. We don't have to perform for God. He doesn't have to perform for us, but he'll make it happen. All we got to do is believe. All we got to do is stay trusting him. Stay close to him, okay? All right. Verse 22, "And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness." way back before Jesus came, God credited Abraham with righteousness because he believed God. Amen. And he received his full righteousness when Jesus came. And when Jesus descended, he went to Abraham's bosom. He preached righteousness to them, which they already believed. And he said, come on, I'm going to take you up now. He led captivity captive, and he brought them in. See, Jesus had to be the first one born from the dead because he has to have the preeminence. He's first in everything. Whew, man, this is good. You know, so the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. The word of God is the only thing that will produce faith in your life. Nothing else will. Find out what God says about whatever it is you need. And what God says is what will produce life and faith for it. Let me just go to Hebrews 11. And we're going to finish here for tonight. And if you need prayer, let's believe God together. And I'm going to pray with you. Whoever wants prayer for tonight, I'm going to pray for you. Hebrews 11, 1. Faith is two things. Faith is substance of things hoped for, and it's evidence of things not seen. Faith, say this with me. Say, faith is substance, faith is substance. And faith is evidence. Do you need anything more than what God said about something to make it true? No. What God said about it is the only evidence you need for its existence. Okay? Now, here are some other translations. The Young's literal translation says, faith is of things hoped for, a confidence. Of matters not seen, a conviction. So faith is a confidence and a conviction. We need to carry about faith with confidence, with conviction. You know, conviction means you're willing to do whatever you need to do to bring it to pass. You got a conviction about you. You can't be moved. Amen. My mind's made up. I'm stayed on his word. Amen. The New American Standard says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, things not seen. It's an assurance and a conviction. Okay? The Amplified, now this is really powerful. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. How do you know a car exists? Because every car has a title. As far as the government is concerned, that car doesn't exist. I don't care if you can see it right there without a title deed. When you transfer property, you get a deed to that property. That deed shows ownership. That deed is right of ownership. This church possesses a deed on the land that it has because we have ownership of this land. This church owns this land. It's the title deed. The word of God is the title deed. It shows that healing exists. It shows that peace exists. It shows that power exists. It shows that resurrection exists. It's the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see. I can't see my healing yet, but I know it exists. How do you know it exists? Because God said it. That's all the proof that I need. I'm proof positive. Because God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Doesn't matter what the doctors say, doesn't matter what your body says. If God said it, that's what I believe. Amen. I believe God above every other voice. Amen. So faith is the, it's the proof of things we do not see, the conviction of the reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Woo! It's assurance, it's confirmation, it's the title deed for our hopes. It's a conviction of the reality perceived real apart from the senses. That's what faith is. How many of you have ever ordered a pizza on the phone? What do you do the minute you hang up that phone? Okay, you wait. What else do you do? Get your money ready. What else do you do? Why do you set plates out when the pizza hasn't even arrived yet? You know that he's coming. You think the pizza delivery guy than we do in God. How many has ever mailed a letter? You believe that once you put that letter in a blue box that it's going to get to where it needs to go? We have more faith in the postal delivery system sometimes than we have in God. It's about time that we have some faith in God. So that when people get around you, they say, we heard of your faith. Tell me where you got your faith. I heard of your faith. How'd you do it? Tell me what you did. Show me. You know, your faith needs to have that kind of testimony. We heard of your faith in God, our Father, and in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Really? You heard of my faith? Wow, that's so cool. But that's what we need to do. We need to have a thankful heart, and we need to have a firm faith and a flowing love for the brethren. Next week, we're going to get into the flowing love for the brethren part. Because, you know, there's three great things in the Word of God: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of those is what? Love. But they're all three, they work together. Amen? So, we've only got to verse 4 of Colossians. Isn't this awesome? God is so good. Now, how many here, you need something? Then come up here right now and let's believe together for God to bring it to pass. I'm going to agree with you in prayer. For whatever you need, just come on up. You coming up is an act of faith. But I want you to come up believing you receive. Knowing that it exists in God's word. Hallelujah. And God's going to bring it to pass. Because he's good. Because he loves you. You know what? He promises his sleep for his saints will be sweet. I